Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, I'm thrilled that you're joining us this week. Now, to help you navigate change, whatever that is for you and happening for you in your life, hopefully you've chosen the change, but we know sometimes change is thrust upon us. So to help you on your journey of change, please go in the show notes and you'll see my link to my communication style assessment. We communicate with humans every day, family, friends, as well as in our professional lives. So if you can have a little bit of insight into your natural communication superpowers and how people are just naturally receiving your messages, kind of good to know. Flip side, you'll receive a report showing your lowest score or blind spot that you may have as relates to communication. Please take it, review the notes, review the information, and hopefully I could shine some lights on your deficit or your blind spots to help you navigate whatever change is happening in your life with a little bit more ease and grace. Now, my motivational quote today is by Tracy Ellis Rose, and she says, "I am learning every day to allow the space between where I am and where I want to be to inspire me and not terrify me." So this quote literally stopped me in my tracks after I read it because I thought, wow, I love this concept of allowing space between myself today and myself right in the future. And being inspired and curious, I really think is something that I try to lean into every day. Here's the thing, not knowing or not giving into my fear of what failure could happen, or, you know, that record player of I'm not good enough, the unknown events that, right, change happens to all of us that could hinder our personal and professional growth. They're real too. And they're always simmering underneath the surface, right, of that record player. So my guest today and my good friend is Eric Allen Eaton. And recently, Eric shared with me that he too has been learning to let go of fear. And Eric is a hardworking, honest, determined, and self-motivated individual. Let's see if Connie can talk today. And one of his missions in life is to leave the world truly in a better situation than he found it and enjoy seeing his friends, family rewarded for their hard work. He has over 15 years of branch and operational banking experience and 2 decades of stage and voice acting experience as well. Please help me welcome my amazing friend, Eric, to the show. So thanks for being on, my friend.
Thank you, Connie. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, I love having you. And it's so funny because, and I will put this in the show notes for you guys. Eric and I did another show, different topic, but the insight that you bring to the table and your level of just kindness and love that just exudes from you. That's why when we met at a conference, I think it was like instant love. And we were like, wow, we need to see each other more. So we said, let's record a show because you're in Mississippi. I'm in Jersey. Yep. I will put that in the show notes because Eric is truly inspiring, and I think you'll enjoy it. And the level of response we got to the show, Eric, was amazing. We had more downloads than most of my other shows. So thank you for that as well. I think the content's relevant.
It is. I agree with you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Now, okay. Recently you mentioned that God actually spoke to your soul. And that I think it was the other day about fear, and it stopped you in your tracks. Can you share that experience, how you felt, and then ultimately, of course, how you responded?
Yeah. So throughout life, I've always been the person that worries about tomorrow or even down the road. I always worried what people are going to think if I hurt their feelings, or if I say that I want something, someone says no, or you don't deserve that. Or if I just do the wrong thing, I'm afraid that it'll make somebody angry. So it's kind of made me a stepping stone or a foot mat, if you will, over the course of several relationships. And I just always have allowed fear to control me from speaking up for myself and things like that. And so about a year ago, with a relationship with my best friend, kind of had a falling out, and over fear, it just kept me from trying to bridge the gap or look into my soul and really say, Now, were you really right in the way you handled this? Of course I was right in my head. But, fast forward to several things that we were talking off mic about, things that life has happened. And so, yeah, I'm a church goer. I go to Chapel of the Cross, Episcopal Church here in Madison, Mississippi. Church has been there. They started building the church in 1848 and it was finished in 1852, which in America is so old, but, it's this beautiful country church. There's generations of people buried behind it. And then we built a new sanctuary because thanks be to God, we're a growing parish in the Episcopal Church. So, I mean, we're a little over 900 members on the books now, and it necessitated building a new space. So there's a cemetery in between the old space and the new space. And I do a lot out at the chapel. One of my duties is part of the altar guild. So I was setting up something in the original chapel and was going to go to the new chapel to do the same thing. And I know that people say God talks to them all the time. God shows me things. I've never heard him speak to me directly. And I didn't hear it in my ear, like I was telling you, but I'd been struggling with this concept of fear and going forward, both in repairing that relationship I was talking about and in addressing some other areas of my life that I've been fearful over. I've always had a strong prayer life, but you know, I was leaving the original church and God spoke to my soul and he said, "Eric, why are you so afraid of people when you can tell the devil to go to hell every single day?" And I stopped in my tracks and it made me kind of angry. You know, I looked up and I said, "I don't know. You made me, God. Why don't you tell me?" And then I was like, "All right, fine. Show me the way. Equip me." And from that day forward, little small doors have opened, little small cracks have opened in the veil of my prayer life. You know, being a Christian, I know that Christ rose from the dead. And at the same time, in the scriptures, it says that the veil at the temple, which separated God from the people, only the holiest of people could go in there. And that was like once a year, the high priest. They said it was as if a hand ripped it from the top to bottom and say, and it is finished. That was removing the barrier between God and his people. And so I think people still put up a veil in the prayer life. I think we're afraid to approach God fully. I think some people say, "Well, God knows what's on my heart." But do we know what's on our heart? I think that's the point of being so intentional in prayer and giving it all to him. And yes, he knows what we're going through, but to hear us vocalize it, it's almost like we're showing the devil or evil, "Hey, I know what you're trying to do and I'm letting God know. So the next time I face you, he's going to be there with me. And so you're in trouble." And so that's really kind of the way, you know, when God said, "You tell the devil to go to hell every day," I have loved doing that for years. So there was a quote that C.S. Lewis said one time where he said, "The devil hates nothing more than to be mocked." And he wrote a whole book about it called The Screwtape Letters. You know, it's a conversation between the devil and his nephew about trying to get souls and take them to hell. And it's just like everything goes wrong for them and they get mad. That whole book was a mockery. But now Lewis did caution. He said, "Now, once you do mock the devil, he's going to come at you with everything he's got." And I have seen that. I've mocked him many a times over the last few months. And sure enough, the next day, one small thing will happen. But I'm equipped now to know it's not going to work. You are a big old loser. And so now when I am afraid of people, I realize that I don't need to look them in the eyes. I need to look just slightly to the right or the left where the devil is probably sitting on their shoulder. And so I'm not angry at people. I'm not afraid of people anymore because I know that they're sitting there listening to the devil in their ear as well. And so I just have to look, I'm basically looking silently at him and saying, "No, not today." So that's the relationship I was talking about. We're well on the way to mending it and it's been a good thing. It's good to have my best friend back and we're going from there.
It's interesting when you, I'm assuming you approached the friend. That was actually going to be my next question. So I did not mean to interrupt you. Apologies for being a little rude there, but did you approach the friends and was there immediate acceptance because you came from this very wholesome, loving space?
This friend and I had a falling out and he did a much better job about trying to call me to task on being the better man that I am. And so I really thank him for that. He's a very strong believer too, very big prayer warrior. And we've held each other accountable and pray for each other all the time. And he's a close family friend and knows all the family and everything. So, no, I wish that I'd been the one that really kind of had stayed connected. It's not an excuse, but I really kind of feel like the last year for me has been a wilderness year. You know, Jesus went through the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm no way comparing myself to that, but I really felt like I was lost for the last year, even having such a strong prayer life. But again, like I said, I felt like I was coming out of a fog over the last few months and really feel myself. Even when I saw you in Dallas, I was still kind of, I was being outgoing and of course doing the Eric thing. But you know, there was still part of me that was missing. And, you know, we had lunch back in February, and it was just kind of like God just basically said, all right, Eric, tell him what's on your heart. And, we're working on it. There's a lot that was said and done over the last year. And I'm one of those people that knows you're not going to just say, all right, you know, come on back. It's fine. But the process of forgiving and moving forward and determining what this looks like going forward is where we are. And it's really been a great thing. There's been a lot of eye-opening moments. There's been a lot of scripture that has been revealed to me just thumbing through the Bible that I never thought possible. When I was talking about my journey against fear, God, the Psalms themselves, there's so many Psalms in there about how, yes, I'm facing danger. Yes, I'm afraid, but you are with me. And it's like, then, and at the end of it, it's like, then why am I afraid? If I'm saying you're with me, you're standing right here. Even if I die, I know where I'm going, and I know that I'll never be afraid again or hurt or sad or scared or harmed. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's walking out in faith. I think one of the quotes that we, you and I talked about back and forth on email is, courage isn't the lack of fear. It's stepping out and going forward in spite of it.
And I love
that word, in spite, because it's like you're looking at the devil with spite saying, you do your worst. You may burn the hair on my arm. Big deal. You're a loser. Get back to hell where you belong.
I love it. You're a loser. Go away.
A loser. He really
you
is.
You know what's funny, Eric? And I think this is true for everyone, right? Whether you go to church every Sunday, whether you read the scripture, I think as soon as we open our heart to that higher power, whatever that is, right? Whether you're a Buddha, whatever your religion is, doesn't really matter. I think it's that you opened your heart, and that's your friends, right? You started with that healing process. So I think that opportunities are presented to us so that we can heal or heal old wounds or heal our relationships that should still be relevant to us, because those people are important. But I think when you open yourself up to what could be and who you could be, those opportunities start to speak to you. So it's funny. I too have never heard from God directly, but I can tell you I'm guided every day. I know that in my heart. Call it intuition, your gut, whatever. I know I'm guided. I know I'm spoken to. And recently it was funny, right? You know, I teach corporate, I teach banks and credit unions. And I was at one of my banks here in Jersey, and the young lady. So it's funny how we start talking about spirituality and universe and God and right, all of these beliefs that we have that are taboo in corporate. Well, for me, I think people feel comfortable enough with me because I believe it. So this one young lady, she can see auras. Now I cannot see auras. I wish I had these wonderful gifts. So I did not have an aura. And I said to her, oh my goodness, why? She goes, I don't know. She goes, I see a bunch of angels wrapped around you. I could see layers of literally your angels and guides, and they're just hugging you and embracing you as if protecting you from something. She goes, I don't know what that is. And it could be when I train, you have so much energy in that room. I have to be really careful, right, on what energy I let in, because you don't want to let the negative energy attached to you if someone else is having issues or what have you. So I believe that my angels are around me all the time, guiding me all the time. And you're right. It's not something you hear in your ear, but it's something you feel at the depths of your soul. And you feel compelled, like, I can't ignore this. Like, I really need to do this. So I'm kind of jealous that, you know, he spoke to you and you heard it almost organically through those words, where mine are more feelings driven than word driven. So I'm a little jealous.
Well, maybe, you know, you may still have that encounter. I'm glad it didn't come to my ears, because I probably would have fallen down in fear. And I don't mean like a bad fear. There is a healthy level of fear. You know, God is awesome. Yes. And we're fearfully made and all that type stuff. But I appreciate that he just kind of spoke through the soul as a kind of a beacon. I mean, a microphone that I could, the volume wasn't turned all the way up on. But yeah, there is a spiritual battle going on above each of our heads. And, you know, the folks that are listening and watching, if you struggle to believe that, just know that it's very true. It's mentioned in the scriptures. There has been countless stories throughout history of the battle between good and evil. And Connie just mentioned it. It manifests itself in energy. As trainers, Connie and I know that when you get in front of people, you can either be the great energy that feeds the room and everybody feeds off of it. There's usually one negative or two negative people in the room. You just got to shut them out. And in your heart, you say, bless their heart. I'm not training towards them. I'm training to the five people who are paying attention.
That's right.
And that negative energy goes away. But I've seen it more times than I can count, where I've asked people to pray for me, specifically my friend I'm talking about, over the last few months. I can say, hey, this is what I'm facing with mom and dad's health or whatever. Please pray for me. And he'll stop and do what he's doing, and I'll pray at the same time. And you can feel it. You feel that fear and anxiety just push back. It's almost like the Red Sea's parted and you can walk through safely. And I believe that your friend was right that saw the auras, that she could see angels around you. That's real. That is a real statement. I know it's real. I can't say I've seen them with my own eyes, but I can feel them. I feel protected wherever I go and in any situation, even if there's a momentary fear. You know, sometimes God is just a glimmer of light in the darkness, but it's still light. And it lets you know that you're not alone.
Eric, I feel it every day. And that's why I'm humbled, because I'm teaching sales, right? I mean, sales, yeah, of all things, or coaching or whatever. Like, this is hardcore business stuff. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, I might say, remember, your customers feel your energy. So be mindful. Like, what are you sending out there? Because that's what they're going to feel, and they're going to respond whether they buy from you or not. So I'm this corporate environment. I say stuff like that. And it's the cutest thing, Eric, because at lunch, people can we, because they know I want, like, they want to give me my space, which I think is lovely, so I can re-energize. And they'll come in and say, can I eat in here? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. And then they'll say, like, what books are you reading? Have you watched The Secret? Or, you know, what books? And I go, oh, Wayne Dyer, he's one of my favorites. And I giggle. I come home and I say to my husband, it's the weirdest thing when that happens, but it's not, because I said, they know they feel safe, which makes me feel really good that they feel safe to talk to me about this stuff. I said, but I'm in a corporate container and we're talking about universal laws and God and spirit and angels. And I said, and I giggle all the time thinking, yes, this is part of my message, I think, that I'm supposed to be teaching people, because if we can sell through love, right? And sales to me is a noble profession, because you have this zone of genius. And in, you know, in the financial centers that we represent, you work for a bank as well. Yeah. It is our responsibility to help people become financially secure and financially aware and financially educated. And when we're afraid to share a solution because, oh, I'm being pushy, it's you're doing a malpractice. It's your responsibility. So again, I think because I come from this very noble perspective, this value-driven perspective and this energetic perspective, that people see sales just from a different light, instead of I have to sell them something, it's I have to serve them. And there's a big difference energetically to those two words, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so important, especially as banks, to believe, but also as specifically, I know the Christian world, so I'm saying specifically as Christians, Bank Plus was founded here in Mississippi. We're the buckle in the Bible Belt. We're in four states now: Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, all traditional, you know, southeastern states that are part of that Bible Belt. But we don't. There's no corporate law against talking about God here, but we do it in an organic way, just like checking on each other and talking about, you know, we share scripture and things like that. And our CEO is a Christian. And so it's all part of a great thing. We have people here that are Muslims and people that are non-believers and different denominations of Christianity even, but we're all built one big family, and we believe in that. That's our slogan. We're the power of one. And that's really important to accept and to to go forward together like that. But specifically to what we were just talking about, I think it's important to be approachable. I think that that's what makes people feel safe. That's what even helps learners learn, is that they can relate to the trainer.
Yeah.
But even specifically back to what you're talking about sales being a service, as Christians, Christ is calling us to service. We're all servant leaders and servant ministers. And I can't think of any better way to fulfill the saying that Christ gave us to teach people how to fish than to provide financial literacy. And if you teach people, instead of just being numbers and sales driven, to be service providers, they're able to talk with people and say, what kind of fish are you looking for? Or what kind of rod are you using? What kind of bait are you using? And so that's really, from a specific standpoint of the financial world, I feel like we're called to alleviate people's suffering. And if private banks get together, if credit unions get together, and we really start focusing on financial literacy, that will take, when you start teaching people to do for themselves, that takes the burden off social services, takes the burden off the government. And then you can really focus that money on people who cannot help themselves. And then, you know, we're doing not the Johnson Great Society, but the Great Society, what we're called to do. I said this the other day to a friend that, we're not supposed to bring heaven to earth, but we are supposed to erase bits of hell from it. And I feel like doing things like that, being a good neighbor, is just, that's all what it's about. It's about making people not suffer unnecessarily.
Absolutely. And if I can help to relieve that, why wouldn't I? Like, how easy, and how easy is it? It's funny, up here, I have a friend, he's a president of a university up here in the Northeast. And Dr. Dale Caldwell, he's an amazing man, and he is on a mission to eliminate poverty in this country. So he and a group of us, and I haven't been as active as I should be just because of my scheduling, but it's called the E-Zone, the Entrepreneurial Zone. And I believe we have 15 or 18 already set up. And the premise is that we go in and mentor and coach and share our zones of genius with these new business owners who are of color, who are in that lower income kind of status, so that we can help them bring their zone of genius and gifts to the world, earn a living, right, and make money, and then change their communities, right, and have this beautiful ripple effect. And our objective is truly to get people off of welfare and for them to be empowered to do what they should be doing here on earth and making a great living and then affecting other business owners. So together, we're really on this mission. And he is brilliant. And his objective, I think, is truly holistic. And I think everybody needs to do this. So if we can create this process or this system and then have it duplicated, so you bring these new entrepreneurs in and have them get their sea legs, like you said, teach them how to fish. Now they can go out and teach others how to fish. We can eliminate poverty in this country. And he truly believes it's through entrepreneurship and that empowerment through education and coaching. And it's we're saying the same thing, right? Whether it's through scripture or through what we're doing at work or the communities that we hopefully are giving back to, that there's value together that we can eliminate. How did you say it? Get rid of the devil on earth or the evil on earth?
We can't bring heaven to earth. We can eliminate bits of hell from it, is what I said. So yeah, same thing. Just push the devil back one day at a time by showing that people can be successful. Specifically here in Mississippi, with the racial history we have and the pain and the heartache and all of that that goes back, There are communities of us that are reaching across these lines and just saying, we're not going to do it anymore. You know, it was against the law for our grandparents to even be in the same room, you know, racially. It was fear that kept my parents' generation from really solving it. So it's my generation's turn to say, the laws have changed. What are we afraid of? We're asking the question. I belong to this great organization called Mission Mississippi. Have been a few months with them, but it's been around for 30 years, and its sole mission is to heal the racial divide through the common worship of a God that loves us all because we're all made in his image. And I was just on a call this morning earlier today, and it's just such an uplifting every other Friday just to bring believers together and not focus on color for 1 minute. And, you know, Mississippi has a lot of bad press, but we're also, you know, per capita, we each have the representation of the two races that we're talking about. we're here and this is our home and nobody's leaving. So we might as well make it great for everybody while we're here. Erasing bits of hell is what we're doing. And it's going to do that ripple effect. It's been here 30 years and it's changed lives. It's changed communities. And we've seen it. And, you know, the devil wants everybody to talk bad about Mississippi, but, you know, the ground zero for where a lot of the country's racial problems started, they're being mended here. And, you know, we're going forward 20 years from now to look to see that every generation has been touched by it. Right behind me, I don't know if you can see, that's Dr. King back there. I always like to look at that quote about judging a man by the content of the character. But thinking specifically about fear, talk about going out like Dr. King did in a nonviolent way, physically facing people with guns, water hoses, fists. Even the last sermon he gave that night in Memphis was that he wasn't afraid anymore. And he said, I can see into the promised land. And it's just, I love that. I recently read a book a year ago about that specific, the events around Memphis and the assassination itself. And just the energy building up to that. You went where you saw him be tired. He was so worn down, like Christ in Gethsemane. You know, he was, please take this cup from me. This isn't going to work, but I'll do it because you're strengthening me. To go from that broken downness to standing at that pulpit, delivering what may be one of the most powerful sermons of modern times. I encourage everybody to go read it. It was him saying, I am not afraid. Thy will be done. And that's what we've got to learn to do, whether it's personal life, whether it's a big business decision. All you entrepreneurs out there, I know you're scared to death. But that's what's going to make you successful is, again, courage is not the lack of fear. It's stepping forward in the face of it. And, you know, Connie can definitely teach you ways to do that in a service way, because you are there for business, and the numbers don't lie. Numbers do help your business grow. But you can't be afraid. You can't even be afraid to, you know, cold calling in sales is such a bad word, but what, you know, cold calling has its place. And I don't even like to call it cold calling. I just like to call it prospecting, I guess.
Yes.
That's what you're called to do as a sales professional is grow your business. And you can't just grow your business. I mean, you can by word of mouth. And that is a blended approach. And I don't want to steer off on that topic, but I've learned that word of mouth only gets you so far. If you're in the beginning of your career, have that in your tool belt, but don't be afraid to go and present, especially from a bank. The days of people walking into the bank and just lining up to talk to you about what you can do for them, those are gone. I saw those leave in 07, 08, and 09 when the recession hit. Yep. Now we're all kind of sitting around like the Maytag repairman going, well, I guess the economy's slow. But then you look across the street and all these other banks have financing by. It's like, well, let's get out there and scoop up the business. Let's go fish.
Let's go fish and let's teach people how to fish. And this, you know, I share this story frequently when I train, because especially because right, you're a bank and I work with banks and credit unions, but my niece, she's an audiologist, and, you know, she had gotten a raise. We were talking and, I said, oh, you take that money. You weren't living on it. Go put it in a mutual fund. Just let it grow. 5 years from now, you could buy a new car. You might be able to take a vacation, but live with what you were living with and put that money away. Oh, that's a great idea. And then she's getting married in this year. And I said, you know, do you have life insurance? You guys should be talking about life insurance. You're healthy, you're insurable, right? Talking basic financials. And we're driving home. We went for her wedding dress. You know, I was invited, which I was very touched because I have two boys, Eric. So I was very happy to be included, the aunts to go and shop for the dress. But as we're driving home and we started talking about financials, and she realized, she says, Aunt Con, I don't know any of this. So we invited her fiance. We got pizza. You know, we hung out on a Saturday night and 2 hours, like, we just talked about finance and try this and do that. And as she was leaving, Eric, she said to me, you know, freshman year in college, I had to take Gothic architecture. Why don't they make it mandatory? Because my kids were business majors. They had finance. So she said, why isn't that a mandatory skill? And I said, you're right. And people are afraid to go to banks and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. You know, can you help? So it's important for bankers and credit union folks to reach out and make education, financial literacy, just part of what we do with our community outreach. You're going to win because you're serving. People will come and do banking with you because you're showing love. They're going to bring the love right back. But we forget. Right. We, oh no, I'm being pushy. You know, we're talking about money. I'm being invasive. You need to talk about money because otherwise people aren't going to be able to retire in a comfortable manner. And that I feel is our responsibility as financial experts. So yeah, I didn't mean to go off on that.
No, I agree. I wish the education system, and I don't mean just private or public, the entire focus in our country doesn't seem to be equipping people to live as adults. It's equipping them to go off to college. And so, you know, as much as I love science, I've yet to mix bromium with carbon and make something in a lab. I'm not a scientist. So while I do appreciate the chemistry I had to learn, I'm not mixing chemicals or elements. I am balancing checkbooks and paying bills and having to support two children, two boys who are getting ready to go off to college in the next few years. So, I mean, yeah, that would have been nice to kind of have some training, formal training on that at some point in my life. But as you know, there's no handbook for being an adult, but dang, financial institutions sure could make it a little bit easier by offering education. So Bank Plus is really good about that in the communities. We do offer a lot of financial literacy. We offer credit programs to help folks get off their feet. And it's good. We are a community bank. We're just in a lot more communities than we used to be.
Yeah, so, but you still have the heart of a community bank, which I think is important. You know, these big conglomerates, I think they lose their soul in the process. And yes, I know business is business, but business is personal, right? It really is personal. And, you know, if you're my banker, I want to get to know you, the person, as well as you, the banker, because we're one being. I have to ask you a question because you are so, you're a leader in your organization and doing amazing things in your community, but you do it from this very heartfelt, centered kind of, and for you in the Bible belts, right? That almost that biblical, you know, that more religious maybe than we are here in the Northeast, even though I think we're saying the same thing. How do you motivate and instill this type of approach for you as a leader within your organization and banking?
I think when we talked about it earlier, I think just being intentional about being approachable. And, you know, I've been blessed through my career at Bank Plus specifically to come from the training world, went into the branch administration world for a while. And now I'm in the culture world where we focus solely on culture, which that's a realm that people that's getting personal. You know, there's some people that are not comfortable talking about culture and being positive all the time. And maybe they're struggling with leaving stuff out the door and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just fortunate to be able to know pretty much everybody, either through training them or answering the phone and helping them over the last few years. And I just know how good it feels when people are there to help if you need it. And, you know, my office here is kind of central to the footprint. I'm here in Jackson, Mississippi, in the city I grew up in, Jackson. But the, knowing that we have an open door policy, knowing that people can call anytime and that they're never going to hear it from me. And I try to teach this to my children and other people. I can't help you. If I can't help somebody directly, I at least will know who to call or know who to call to find out who to call. And I think that from a customer standpoint, that if you adopt that mindset as a banker and say, Mr. Smith, I can't help you with this transaction, but I know who can. Give me just a minute or give me your phone number and promise you somebody I'll call you back. That's all people are looking for is just some assurance that you've heard them and are caring enough to help them. Yeah. No matter if they've got $5 in the bank or $5 million in the bank.
Absolutely.
Or any industry. It doesn't even have to be banking.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And you're right. If we approach it as, of course I can help you with that, even if it's not me per se, you know, we could pay it forward. And you, like me, we have good networks. We've been working a long time. And it just off funny story, a friend of mine, CEO at a bank, right? Just a colleague, Northeast here. And so the other day she sent me an email. She goes, oh, by the way, my son is graduating in May, but he's going to stay in Salt Lake City, which is where he's in school. He's not coming back to the East Coast. She said, just, I don't know if you can help him out and, you know, maybe connect with him on LinkedIn. So I was like, oh my God, I have a friend out in Salt Lake City who's a thought leader in the financial industry. So here's the thing. And this, I want everybody to hear this. When people ask for help, 99% of the time, the person you're asking will help. So I reached out to my colleague, Nate, shout out to my bud, Nate, out in Salt Lake City. And I said, can I introduce you to this young man? His mom's a good friend. I know he's a good kid because she'll beat him if he doesn't work hard. You know, can you just have a conversation with him? He's going to meet this kid for lunch. So now if your son was coming up here and you said, Khan, can you help my kid even just have a quick phone call? I'd be like, taking him out to dinner. We're going to talk. I'm going to try to help him introduce. Maybe I could bring him to a networking event. Yeah. We have to do this. We have to pay it forward. We have to help these kids. You have to tap into my network. You have to ask. Otherwise, I don't know what you need and how I could potentially help. And I think you're the same way. Just ask for the help. Even if I can't, you know, I know somebody. This is the Jersey thing in me, Eric, right? I got a guy. So we have people, right, that we can bring to the table, which I think is so important. And truly in our heart that we want to help those less fortunate, help those starting a career, help those with financial expertise, whatever it is. We truly in our hearts feel that that's what we're here to do and serve. So I love you, my friend. We're out of time.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
Say that again, Eric.
I love you. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, these are such, here's the thing. They're business. Got a little woo in there. You know, it's a little woo. And I do believe that the current is changing and I'll tell you this, the people who find me and listen to the show or the people who hire me, they're heart-centered. They have this undercurrent of everything we're talking about, of sharing and serving. And I think that's important. So be true to yourself. And if this is resonating with you, go out in your business, go out in your career and really live and breathe the vibration of what we're talking about just energetically. We can change the world. We are our own ripple effect if we just allow it and feel safe and courageous. And again, it's fear and courage, right? Courage isn't ignoring fear. It's moving forward in spite of it. And I think that really is our theme for the show. So don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to share your genius and don't be afraid to serve bigger. Even if it's uncomfortable for you, that's when magic starts happening, when we feel uncomfortable. So yeah, honor it. Yeah, lean into it.
Absolutely right.
So here's the deal. I'm going to give you Eric's email. It's Eaton, R-E-B, at Gmail. Right, I could give that out. Okay. And I'm also going to share Eric's LinkedIn profile. I highly recommend you get connected with him. You never know what magic we might be able to create together. So again, it's Eaton, R-E-B, at gmail.com, and the LinkedIn, I will put his connection information so you could connect with him. Easy peasy. Eric, thank you again. As always, amazing conversation. You're freaking amazing. Keep rocking your bad self. And maybe I'll report to you when God speaks to me directly. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Let me know what he says.
I will report back my Obi-Wan Kenobi over here.
Y'all all be well.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Eric. Bye. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter where you are on as you navigate change that's happening in your life. And I always hope that it's change you're choosing, but we know life throws us curveballs and we are sometimes thrown into change that we weren't necessarily ready for. Trust me, I hope the show, my guests, my conversation with Eric today inspires you to live your life in grace and create ease by just getting better at communicating, using the skills we're talking about, opening your heart to serving on a bigger level. It matters. Information's a beautiful thing. If you do nothing with our conversation today and the ideas and strategies we've shared, nothing will change in your life. Create some magic. You have the power to do it. Thank you for tuning into Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. Until next week, please, please be inspired. Try something new. Go out and be the ripple effect that the world needs. I love you all. Eric, I love you. And I will see you all next week. Have a great one, everybody.